أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين يتربصون بكم فإن كان لكم فتح من الله قالوا ألم نكن معكم وإن كان للكافرين نصيب قالوا ألم نستحوذ عليكم ونمنعكم من المؤمنين والله يحكم بينكم يوم القيامة ولن يجعل الله للكافرين على المؤمنين سبيلا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله ما أخلف والخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق والحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. The continuation of our study of the Holy Quran, today we are going to start, we are going to continue actually in Surah An-Nisa from verse 141. Allah is still talking to us about the adjectives of hypocrites, the way they behave and then when they are with the believers and the way they behave when they are with the non-believers. And he said, part of their discussions is that الَّذِينَ يَتَرَبَّصُونَ بِكُمْ, they are always hoping that something bad will befall to you or you believers, even though they are together with you. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فَتْحًا مِنَ اللَّهِ قَالُوا أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. But if something good happens to you, you are the ones who are willing, they would say, but we are with you. They are trying to reassure you, give you reassurance that they have been with you. وَإِنْ كَانَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ نَصِيبٌ قَالُوا أَلَمْ نَسْتَحْوِذْ عَلَيْكُمْ وَنَمْنَعْكُمْ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. But if the unbelievers are the ones winning, they would not turn to them and tell them, don't you know that we have been within the mu'min so that we work on your behalf from within them, وَنَمْنَعْكُمْ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, so that they would not be able to win against you. Allah يحكم بينكم يوم القيامة. So you should know that Allah is the one who is going to judge between all of you on the day of judgment. ولن يجعل الله للكافرين على المؤمنين سبيلا. And definitely Allah would never make the unbelievers be the ones who winning or above the believers. Okay, actually this verse that is talking to us about this behavior, it is trying to give us a picture of the inner workings of the hypocrite. Being a hypocrite is actually a disease. Nowadays, scholars are studying hypocrisy from philosophical viewpoint, from psychological viewpoint. And the one that is from the psychological viewpoint is a little bit closer to the one that we are talking about in religion, because in religion we are looking at hypocrisy as a spiritual disease. From a psychological viewpoint, they look at it as an aspect of pathology in which a person will find it very difficult to follow the truth, even if he knows that this is the truth, will find it very difficult to take a stand against evil, even if he knows that this is evil, right? So he will be in between the two, trying to place this and trying to place that. Right, and because it's a disease from the religious perspective, it's a spiritual disease, it cripples the person from seeing the consequences of that action, because regardless of whether the evil is winning on the truth in this world, but that success is limited, it has no any life beyond this life. So by the time all of us are dead and we are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever winning we have registered back in this world amounts to nothing, absolutely nothing. But in this life, because this life has its own rules and regulations, sometimes the truth will win over the falsehood, and the falsehood will sometimes win over the truth, just like we see in the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we look at Ghazwat Badr, for example, the Battle of Badr, Muslims won the battle overwhelmingly. But if you look at Ghazwat Uhud, the Battle of Uhud, we will see the equation, the imbalance on the other side, right? So that is the way it works in this life. Al-harbu baynahum sijal. Sometimes the truth wins, another time the falsehood wins. But that is not the way it is going to work out on the Day of Judgment. That is why at the end of the verse, Allah said, وَلَنْ يَزَعَلُ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَجِيلًا. The kafirs would never win over mu'min. One may assume that as a result of this verse, or this aspect of this verse, even in this life, mu'mins, the believers would always win. That is not the case. Someone one time went and asked Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu about this verse and asked him, oh Ali, look at what is happening today. You know, some people who are not as truthful as you are, they are winning over you. And Allah said, وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا. Allah would never give a chance for non-believers over the believers. And then Ali ibn Abi Talib told him, come closer. When he came closer, he said, okay, let me read you the verse the way it is. الله يحكم بينكم يوم القيامة ولن يجعل الله للكافرين على المؤمنين سبيلا. That Allah said, Allah is going to judge among you on the Day of Judgment, and that is when He is not going to give the non-believers the chance over the believer. And what is the context for which this verse is being crafted this way and given to us this way? It's because Allah is talking, beginning the way non-believers and munafiqs most especially are fooling themselves, thinking that they are fooling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. Right? They are fooling themselves but thinking that they are actually fooling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the reason now He's telling them, okay, you can do whatever you want to do in this life. As long as you have a means, you have a power, you have authority in this life, do it your way and keep winning, thinking that you are now above and over everyone else. You determine who lives, you determine who dies, you determine who becomes rich, you determine who becomes poor, you determine the economy of whichever country you want, you put whatever verdict you want to put on whichever country or whichever individual or organization in this life. That is not the way it's going to work out hereafter. That is not the way it's going to work out over there. Over there, you are powerless, just like any other person. Everything then belongs to Allah. It belongs to Allah every right now. But over there, Allah is going to show there openly that everything belongs to Him and He is the one giving the verdict. And over there, there is nothing like you fooling yourself and thinking that you're fooling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All your means are cut off and none of your supporters can be able to support you over there.
إن المنافقين يخادعون الله وهو خادعهم فإذا قاموا إلى الصلاة قاموا كسالى يراءون الناس ولا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا مذبذبين بين ذلك لا إله هؤلاء ولا إله هؤلاء ومن يضلل الله فلن
The hypocrites deceive themselves, but they think that they are deceiving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Allah has involved them in deception. When they rise up for salat, they go reluctantly to it, merely to be seen by people and they remember Allah but little. They are wavering between belief and disbelief. They are neither holy on this side nor holy on the other side. They cannot guide to the way the one whom Allah lets go astray. But they cause that to themselves actually, because they think that they are deceiving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but actually they are the ones being deceived. Right? And this is what is called in Arabic language, it is called al-mushakala. Right, Allah does not deceive anyone. It's not one of the attributes of Allah to deceive anyone. But for the context of the particular verse that we are talking about, Allah said, "Innal munafiqina yukhadi'una Allah wa huwa khadi'uhum." They think that they deceive Allah, but actually they are the ones being deceived by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like I said, it's not one of the attributes of Allah to deceive, but because of the balagha of the Arabic language, when a particular word is used to describe someone, and then you want to describe the other one who escaped what the other person does, then you use the same kind of word. Just like where Allah said through the speech of Isa alayhi salam, تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِكَ. You know what is in my mind, I don't know what is in your mind. You can't describe Allah as having a mind just like human beings. But because of the context, Isa alayhi salam said, تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِكَ. The same thing happens here. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقُونَ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يَخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَلَى. When they go to prayers, they go very reluctantly. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the attributes of munafiqs is that they won't pray after until when it is very close to the sunset. They now stand up very reluctantly, moving to it. They would just go and do this very funny movements as if to say that they have done their rak'at, and they would not mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the prayers, but very little. You see, the zikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is one of the most striking attributes of believers. الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك. One of the attributes. That is why the lack of that attribute in a person who is among the Muslims is an attribute of being hypocrite. Right? So if you know in yourself that you find it very difficult to pray, you only pray because you want people to see you praying, then you should know that there is something terribly wrong with your iman, and you have to really do something about it. مُذَبْزَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. They are in between that and that. They are doing التَّزَبْزُبْ. التَّزَبْزُبْ is wavering, just like the electromagnetic waves are moving and wavering in the way that pendulum moves around in a clock. Right? That is what they are doing between moments and non-moments, between believers and non-believers. They just move from here to there. Physically, they are together with the believers. But mentally and psychologically, they are together with the non-believers. It's a major attribute that you could know about yourself. Anytime you realize that non-believers are your reference point, anytime you want to do something, the first person that you think about looking for external validation from that person is someone who is a non-believer, and you're referring to him from his viewpoint perspective. Probably you want to get married to a second wife, but you're thinking that my friend Mark, who is very enlightened, is going to think very badly about me. He will say that I'm still not as wise and modernized as I should be, because I still believe in polygamy. Things like those. These are mental reference points that would indicate to you that you are actually losing it once you find yourself doing that. Right? مُزَبْزَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ لَا إِلَهَ أُولَٰئِ وَلَا إِلَهَ أُولَٰئِ وَمَنْ يُدِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَنْ تَجِلَ لَهُ سَبِيلًا. Whoever Allah allowed to go astray, he would never be able to bring that person back to the way.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين أتريدون أن تجعلوا لله عليكم سلطانا مبينا.
Oh, you believers, do not take the disbelievers as your friends instead of the believers. Do you want to punish yourself through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a clear proof against yourself? Note it well that the hypocrite shall go to the lowest abyss of hell, and you would not find any helper for them. Right? What is what is actually talking about is not just having a friend who is a non-believer, but having a reference point who is a non-believer. Right? لَا يَنْحَكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. Allah would not stop you from having relationships with those who did not fight you from the perspective of your religion. Right? Those who actually are your adversaries, your enemies, and they don't hate you because you are winning over them economically. And the problem between you is not political problem, it's not social problem, it's not because you are neighbors and they don't like you in the neighborhood. they hate you because of your religion. It's because they don't like your religion. Assuming you are going to convert back to their religion today, they will like you. Those are the kind of people that Allah is talking about. And we've been talking about this category of people. They can be atheists, those who don't even believe Allah exists in total. Or those who believe he exists, but they don't believe in any prophets or any messages from him. Or those who actually believe in some messages and relegated other messages to the background, they don't want to believe in the other messages. And they are doing that not as a result of a lack of understanding of the new revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but as a result of their hawa-nafs. That is what they have told them to do. Or it is as a result of the fact that the ones that they are believing them because of affinity. They believe in Isa or Musa because they are from the same tribe of Bani Israel, just like themselves. And now someone came and he is from Arab, and they don't like Arabs, and they don't want to belong there, and they decided that we are not believing in him. It is purely hawa nafs. These are the kind of people that Allah is talking about, and he's saying, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tattakhidhu al-kafirina awliya' min duni al-mu'mineen. Do not take those people to be your awliya. Wali normally is someone that you refer back to anytime you want to execute something important. Someone that you listen to, someone that can guide you anytime you find yourself confused. That is wali al-amr, right? You don't necessarily have to be someone that you physically go to, but even if it is someone that you psychologically remember, normally human beings, anytime we embark on something important in our lives, we have some reference point. We remember some people. We think about what Fulan is going to say, what Ilan is going to say, what my dad is going to say, what my friend is going to say. That has to do with sometimes the kind of thing that we want to do. If it is something that has to do with our finances, there's a particular person that we refer to mentally and psychologically. If it is something that has to do with our social life, there are some ones that we refer to mentally and psychologically. Do not make non-believers to be your mental and psychological reference points at the expense of mu'mins, when you actually have mu'mins who are as qualified or even better qualified than those non-believers, but at the same time, you prefer to refer back to those non-believers. When you do that, that is a clear sign that you're losing it in terms of iman. That is a clear sign that you're on your way to becoming a hypocrite in terms of your iman. Because it is a spiritual problem that is befalling you, and you need to watch out very seriously. Do you want to give Allah a proof to punish you? Allah doesn't want to punish anyone, except if that one insists on giving Allah a reason to punish. Allah doesn't want to do it, because what would Allah do with the punishment he's going to put on you if you actually believe in him and thank him? Allah has nothing to benefit from punishing anyone. So don't give Allah a reason to punish you. That is what Allah is advising us not to do here. And remember that munafiqs, the ones who are wavering between iman and kufr, and knowing for the world that in their hearts that they are closer to the non-believers, and just retaining their ties, including affinities and all of that, with the believers for their social capital reasons, not for the actual belief. Those people are in a darat al-asfal. They are in the lowest of the lowest of the abyss in the fire of hell, yawmul qiyamah, walan tajid lahum nasira, and there's no one that could save them there. No one, absolutely. You are in front of Allah. Allah decided your fate, and you are thinking someone can save you. No way. That is not a place where you should look for anyone to save you except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إلا الذين تابوا وأصلحوا واعتصموا بالله وأخلصوا دينهم لله فأولئك مع المؤمنين وسوف يؤتي الله المؤمنين أجرا عظيما. إلا الذين تابوا وأصلحوا واعتصموا بالله. I think that's those of them who repent and mend who repent and mend them their ways, and then who fast to Allah and dedicate their religion sincerely to Allah, such people are with the believers, and Allah mostly surely bestow a great reward on the believers. And why should Allah punish you if you are grateful and behave like true believers? For Allah fully appreciates worth and knows everything about everyone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah is explaining to us that even though Allah is determined to punish those unbelievers, but the door is not closed, like finally, no. There is still room for them to repent and come back to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why he's in الَّذِينَ تَعَابُوا, those who repented, right? They repented wholeheartedly from their heart. But it's not like they have repented so that people will see them repenting. No, they have repented from their heart, وَأَصْلَحُوا, and then they become good people, وَأَتَسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ, and they remain steadfast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ, and then they become loyal in their religion. It's no longer a matter of letting fulan or ilan see what I do or placing someone. It's about placing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, these ones are now counted among the believers. They are no longer counted among the hypocrites. وَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِي اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, and those believers, including those who are counted among them, are going to receive the bounties of rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. What would Allah do with punishing you? Allah would benefit nothing from punishing you. Right? But that is based on a condition. In shakartum, if you actually become appreciative of Allah's rewards, wa amantum, and then you become true believers, what would Allah stand to benefit from punishing you nothing? Wa kana Allahu shakiran aliman, Allah is all knower, and he is the place of gratefulness. You should be grateful to him and you should appreciate his works on you.
لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القوم إلا من ظلم وكان الله سميعا عليما.
لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القوم. Allah does not want people to come in the open when it comes to doing evil. Even if you have to be evil, doing evil is generally forbidden, but when you are tried by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, committing evil becomes a necessity in your life. Make sure that you do it in the hidden, don't do it in the open. Because doing the evil itself is fixed, and doing it in the open is for you. And that these are two different categories of Islam. There are two different categories of sins before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you commit a sin, it can be because your iman is weak, your belief in Allah is weak, you may commit sin. It may be because it's just a trial, something that just happened. Al-Mu'min, the believer actually commits sin from time to time. A believer is not like an angel who is created with the preparation not to commit sin whatsoever. Human being is human being, from time to time will commit mistakes. Right. But when you commit it in the open, you are now declaring war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As if your body language is saying that, oh Allah, do your worst. I'm in this, oh Allah, do your worst. Right? And I don't think really you can do that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore Allah says, لَا يَحِبُّ اللَّهُ الْجَهْرَ بِالسُّوءِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. Allah doesn't want anyone to commit sin in the open. And the examples that ulama at-tafsir, the scholars of tafsir, are given here is that even when you go to someone as a guest, and as a guest you have the right for you to be received and respected and provided for, but that person refuses to do it, even though it's a right. It's not a privilege, actually, as a Muslim, if you visit another Muslim, it's not a privilege for that person to host you, is a right, right? But the person decided not to, it is not right for you to go out and talk bad about that person that refused to host you. It's not right. So the best thing is just keep quiet about it, even though that person did not give you notice. You are right. إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ. But there's also exception to this rule. إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ. When someone made an evil against you, then you can talk, especially if you want to talk so that people come to your aid and give you your right. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا عَلِيمًا. Allah is most hearing and most knowing. No one hears like Allah does, and no one knows like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. Sami'an Aliman, these two attributes here, they are personal attributes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are personal attributes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are always with him. Just like Allah is eternal, the same way these attributes are always eternal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is always hearing, which means that he heard what has happened. He has already in the form of hearing of what is going to happen in the future, even if it didn't happen yet, Allah has already heard of it, right? And the same thing goes to his knowledge. Allah is all knowing. It's not like something would have to happen before Allah knows it. That is the limitation of our knowledge as human beings. We cannot know something that did not happen. We have to know things after they happen, or after we research about them, and then we realize that, yes, we have discovered this. Allah doesn't need all those things. Allah knows what has happened, what is happening, what is going to happen in the future. He doesn't need to conduct any research to know anything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. إن تبدوا خيرا أو تخفوه أو تعفو عن سوء فإن الله كان عفوا قديرا. إن تبدوا خيرا, if you are to bring a good deed in the open, أو تخفوه, or you do it in the hidden, أو تعفو عن سوء, or someone has made a zulm against you but you decided to hide it, not talk about it, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًّا قَدِيرًا. Allah is the one most merciful, most forgiving, when he actually has the power not to forgive, right? There are three things, three topics encompassed in this small aspect of the verse. Allah is saying it's in تُبْدُوا خَيْرًا. This is talking about when you are doing good deeds and you are doing it in the open. Right? It's not a bad thing to do good thing in the open, not especially if you're sure that you're not doing that as you are. You're not doing that to let people know that you're a good person. So you are doing that because either you have to, you are giving sadaqah, and you don't, there's no way you can hide it. It's already a public place, so you are giving that sadaqah in the public place. Or else, you are giving it in the open because you want to encourage all the people. Like, for example, we are in the trying times right now, this COVID-19 pandemic. A lot of poor people who are on a lockdown and don't have any means to feed themselves, no means to feed their family, no means to take care of their family. This is the time for us to do khair, to do sadaqah in the open. Give them in the open so that you encourage all the people to do it, right? You don't have to hide it. You hide it when the person in need is only one person, and probably the person cannot even ask because of the integrity he has in the community, right? The kind of people that Allah describes in Surah Al-Baqarah, that يحسبهم الجاهل أغنياء من التعفف تعرفهم بسيماهم لا يسألون الناس إلحافا. An ignorant person may think that they are rich because of the way they catch their integrity intact. But actually they are needy people, they are destitute. But they decided, because of their fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to keep it within themselves without publicizing that Allah has made me poor. Those are the kind of people that when you want to give sadaqah, try as much as you can to hide it. Let no one know that you are giving them sadaqah. But in a situation like the one that we are in, try to give it in the open so that people will know that, okay, there's an opportunity to give sadaqah here and fulan is already given, let me also give. When you do that kind of thing, you encourage other people. أَوْ تَعْفُوا أَنْ سُوءٍ, or someone has wronged you, you decided to do al-afu, What is afu? Afu is a kind of forgiveness that you give to someone when you have the authority to take back what he has taken from you. Like you lend someone money and you went to him and he told you that the only money I have available to me is 10,000 naira. That is the only money I have, right? I'm sorry, I don't have any more money, but if you insist, I'll give you this 10,000, right? And then you decided to say, okay, I really need this 10,000, but since you don't have any other money, I leave it for you to say it in there. That is al-afu. Not like you, someone is owing you money and you went to his house early in the morning to collect your money. And then the moment you went there, people told you that you have trouble. You have no means of getting that money back. And then you said, okay, I let it for him to say it in there. That is not afu. That might be. You have just let it go because you didn't have any other means to get it back, right? So when you do afu to all the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would receive afu from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? فَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٌ سَيِّئَةٌ مِشْلُهَا وَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. If someone made a bad thing on you, you can take your right from him by doing the same. But if you do afu, then your ajr, your reward, will come from Allah bountifully, right? And when it is Allah that is paying you from his own infinite wealth, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you can be sure that you are getting more bountiful than if it is the person that is paying you back what you have given to him. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَيَقُولُونَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذُوا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. Those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disbelieve in his messengers, and they want to put asunder between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messengers, and they are saying that we have believed in a part of the message of Allah and we disbelieve in the other parts, and they want to chart a course for themselves that would take them to Allah, those people got it wrong, absolutely wrong. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا. And these are the actual real non-believers. There's no two way about this. Once you see one of the attributes over there on yourself, you should know that this is a clear categorization of yourself, that the person doing this is an actual non-believer. وَعَتِتْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ أَذَابٌ مُهِيمًا. Allah said that we have really prepared a very tormenting, azab for those who did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, let's go back to the verse again and see the categorization. How does the kufr, the kalima, the word kufr applies to a person? What does a person do for the word kufr to apply on that? Okay. Right? There are many, many attributes. For example, man ata arrafan faqad kafara bima nazala ala Muhammad wa bima usila bihi Muhammad aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyone who goes to a soothsayer, he has disbelieved in what Allah has sent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are many hadiths like that describe some pieces of act that are part of the act of kufr. But do those people, do those things actually make the person kafir? No, they don't. But what they are doing is they are qualifying what he is doing. That what he is doing is an act of kufr, but that doesn't make him kafir, right? That is what it means. But for someone to become kafir, actually he has to qualify at one of the three categories of kufr. First, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. This is the first attribute. Someone to say that, look,
as far as I'm concerned, God does not exist. The whole idea of this religion is a hoax. I don't believe in it, because today we can explain all life phenomena without the need for involving God. We can explain everything from the scientific viewpoint. We can explain from Big Bang theory to the smallest of the smallest atom. We can explain everything from the scientific viewpoint without any need to involve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This idea as truth as it might sound, but it's foolish and stupid. The fact that you can explain everything inside out of my house does not mean that that house is not mine. All it means is that you know my house. That's all it means. So the fact that you can explain the phenomenon of life inside out because you are so knowledgeable scientifically, it doesn't mean that that phenomenon doesn't have an owner. It doesn't have a maker. All it means is that you know it. Nothing else. So anyone who believes that because life can be explained scientifically, and because religion doesn't make sense to him, therefore religion is talk. All the prophets are liars. This is the biggest category of kufur. Anyone who believes in that, that one is kafir. Kafir does not worry about this. And the second category, yuriduna an yufarriqu bayna Allah wa rasulih. This one they will say, man, this phenomenon of life is too complex to just happen by accident. It must have been created by someone. Definitely someone who is an expert mathematician, knows everything, you know, one after another. Clearly this thing is created. So I believe that God exists. But religion, no. Religion is false. All these people who come and claim that they are prophets, no, none of them is truthful. They are all liars. Anyone who believes in that is also kafir. The fact that you believe in Allah, you believe Allah exists, but you don't believe in prophets, apostles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is also kufr. Because an iman has two legs. One, to know that Allah exists. Two, to know how to relate with him. Because if you say that he exists, but you don't believe in prophets, what you're actually saying in essence is that he exists. He's independent of you. You are independent of him. He exists. He's doing his business, and you have no business with him. And you exist, and you are doing your business too. Two independent beings. And your independence is negating the independence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, by doing that, you are being kafir. Because the fact that you realize Allah exists means that you should subject yourself to him. As long as you don't believe in prophets, then you have no means of subjecting yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what makes you kafir. And then category number three is those who believe that Allah exists. They believe in prophets, but they classify the prophets. The ones that they want to believe in and the ones that they don't want to believe in. Those they don't want to believe in, they decided that these ones are liars. These ones are not telling the truth. We don't like these ones. So these ones are not our tribal people. And that is what most of Bani Israel did. They believe in some prophets and decided that they are not believing in the other prophets. They are not believing in Isa, like in the case of Jews. They think that Isa is not a prophet. Actually, as far as they are concerned, Isa was born out of wedlock. As far as they are concerned, his mom was not a good person. She committed adultery and she gave birth to him through outside of wedlock, from the other side of the blanket, like they say. And Isa was a liar, and that was the reason they made an attempt to crucify him, because they didn't believe he was a prophet. Right? And they did that specifically to protect their throne. They were doing that for purely political reasons, no other reason. And then the people who followed Jesus and became Ansar Allah at the beginning, some of them decided to change the religion and introduce a lot of ungodly things into the religion, and decided not to believe the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he came to them. Even though they know him, Allah described their knowledge of him. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِنْكُمْ لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They know him just like they know their children. Actually,
far better than they know their children, because they read about him, all his attributes, before he was born. But they have no means of knowing their children before their children were born. But they know Prophet Muhammad, they know his name, they know his attributes, they know the place where he is going to be sent to. In fact, it was because they knew that he was going to be sent in a place that has many big trees and a Sahara place. That was why a lot of them came and settled in Medina, knowing their prophet is going to be sent back. But when he came, when what they knew came to them, they decided to disbelieve in it. Right? And Allah put his curse on those who decided to become Kafir. So this is the third category of the non-believers. But what are those who disbelieve in some prophets, not because of inat, not because they hate them, not because they don't belong to their tribe, but because they actually truly did not realize that these people are prophets. In this respect, these people have a different category. They have a different category altogether. They don't belong together with those who are classified as kafirs.
الذين آمنوا بالله ورسله ولم يفرقوا بين أحد منهم أولئك سوف يؤتيهم أجورهم وكان الله غفورا رحيما.
والذين آمنوا and those who believe in Allah سبحانه وتعالى ورسله and they believe in his messengers, all of them, ولم يفرقوا بين أحد منهم and they did not decide to put asunder what Allah has put together himself and his prophets. أولئك سوف يؤتيهم أجورهم. These guys, Allah decided that he's going to give them all their rewards. Their reward for believing in the previous prophet and their reward for believing in the current prophet. وكان الله غفورا رحيما. Allah is most forgiving and he is most merciful.
يسألك أهل الكتاب أن تنزل عليهم كتابا من السماء فقد سألوا موسى أكبر من ذلك فقالوا أرنا الله جهرة فأخذتهم الصاعقة بظلمهم ثم اتخذوا العجل من بعد ما جاءتهم البينات فعفونا عن ذلك وآتينا موسى سلطانا مبينا.
يسألك أهل الكتاب أن تنزل عليهم كتابا من السماء فقد سألوا موسى أكبر من ذلك. O Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, don't worry yourself that some of these people of the book are challenging you and asking you to bring your book for them from the heavens. They are asking you that if you are actually a prophet, then let us see some proof coming from the heavens in form of books addressing us by our names and addresses, telling us that yes, Muhammad is a true prophet from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, Allah has given a lot of mu'ajizat. Mu'ajiza is something beyond human comprehension, something out of ordinary. The ordinary, such a thing cannot happen. But Allah has given these kind of things to prophets, so that becomes a proof that they are actually prophets, right? But there are occasions whereby some non-believers will come and challenge them, and Allah will refuse to bring the mu'ajiza. Why does that happen? That is because the kind of questions that they ask are categorized into two categories. There are questions that they ask because they are so weak they could not recognize, and they are really willing to believe, but they really are looking for proof that will convince them that this person is a prophet, and once they see that, they are going to believe. That kind of question, Allah brings mu'ajiza immediately, so that they will see and believe. Just like the Arabi, the Bedouin person that came to Prophet Allah and said, if you are truly a prophet, I want this dub to talk to me and tell me that you are a prophet. And the Prophet talked to that slaughtered animal, and the animal started talking. And he asked him, who am I? He said, you are the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sent to mankind to be a mafia and all of that. He explained, and immediately that Bedouin person became a Muslim. Right? But that is different from when they ask a question for ta'annud, as a challenge, thinking that this cannot happen. The problem with this is even if they see the verses, they see the ayat, they see the signs that they are asking for, they are not going to believe because they already made up their mind that they are not believing. But it's not about believing, it's just about the argument itself in the first place. They think this is not going to happen. And Allah decided to just let them since they are not going to believe. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now talking to his prophet, telling him that don't worry that these people are disturbing you this much. Even asking you, to the extent of asking you, to bring some books from the heavens that will come in their names and their addresses, talking to them and telling them that Muhammad is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to tell them in a sana. But don't worry, because فَقَسَأَلُوا مُوسَىٰ أَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. They have asked Musa alayhi salam, what them this? They ask him and say, أَيْنَ اللَّهَ جَهَىٰ. Let us see this your Lord with our two eyes. We want to see him, like we want to put our eyes on him. A lot of really bad things here. Because by just assuming that you want to see Allah by your eyes, you are conceiving Allah as a body. You are conceiving Allah as something that your eyes can actually encompass. Allah min waraihim muhit. But he is the one encompassing everything. So your eyes cannot actually. Which is actually different from the question of Musa alayhi salam when he asked Allah, arini anzu ilayk. Look at even the nature of the question, because his question comes from the heart of love. He loves Allah and he wants to have that communionship with Allah through the sense of seeing. So he said, arini anzu ilayk. Not that let me see you. It's not like let me use my eyes and see you. No, but empower me to see you. That is the kind of question he's asking Allah, because it's a question that comes from love, empowerment. He's asking for empowerment in a way that he can actually perceive Allah through his sense of seeing. أَيْنَ اللَّهَ جَهَرَةً فَأَخَذَهُ الصَّاعِقَةً. By the time they asked of that, Allah just brought sa'iqah to them, a kind of sound that comes from the heaven and consumed all of them, and all of them died instantly. فَأَخَذَهُ الصَّاعِقَةً بِذُلْمِهِمْ, because they are really evil doers. So therefore Allah brought that sound from heaven to consume all of them and kill all of them. But after that, Allah gave us a bit more explanation in Surah Al-Baqarah, and he said, ثُمُّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And then we resurrected you after you are dead, so that you appreciate Allah. But what did they do? فَعَقُونَ أَنْ ذَلِكَ ثُمَّ اتَّخَذُ الْعِجْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. Allah resurrected them, and after resurrecting them, then he sent Musa to Jabal Tur Sina after fasting to go and have a communionship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then come back, before Musa is back, right, they started worshipping Al-Ajil. What is that? They started worshipping a cow. What is that? These are people that were just killed because of their evil doing, and at the same time they are resurrected. Is there any person who is supposed to know better than them? Is there any person who is supposed to know that Allah is true better than them? Is there any person who is supposed to know that Musa was actually telling them the truth beyond the people? No way, there's no one that could know better than them. If it is based on a physical evidence, because this physical evidence that befalls them is not something that they have actually seen or heard, it's something that they have experienced. You were killed, all of them, and they were resurrected back alive, but immediately Moses alayhi salam went to have a communion with Allah. They brought a calf and they started worshipping that calf, which is a small calf, started worshipping, right? But still, Allah said, we have forgiven them. We have still forgiven them. Right? And we have given Musa alayhi salam an overwhelming evidence that he is actually a prophet, so that they will believe in him. even though they continue swagging from one point to another, sometimes they look as if they have actually believed in him another time, then they would bring another problem and another trouble. They keep putting himself in trouble until they end up in what is known as tears, right? Where they missed their route and became confused for 40 years.
ورفعنا فوقهم الطور بميثاقهم وقلنا لهم ادخلوا الباب سجدا وقلنا لهم لا تعدوا في السبت وأخذنا منهم ميثاقا غليظا. ورفعنا فوقهم الطور بميثاقهم.
And then after we have forgiven them, but they keep doing what they are doing, and they keep breaking the promises, not even promises. Oftentimes Allah will have covenants with the Bani Israel. Covenants are even much bigger and more stronger than normal promise, right? But they keep breaking those promises and those covenants that they are having with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, وَرَفَعْنَا فَقْهُمُ الطُّورَ, and then we raised up to the mountain of Tursina over them, because they have broken those covenants between them and Allah. Allah has done that so that he would scare them, so that they will come back to him, right? So they saw the mountain going up, and they were seeing right in front of their eyes, the mountain going up. And then Allah said, you should go back to Egypt and go back and enter that city with humbleness. Sujjad, and go there with humbleness. We have given them another condition, because they used to go fishing, and Allah said, okay, I have chosen the day of Saturday for you as the day of worship. Therefore, do not go fishing on Saturdays. And we have given them major promises, but they still break it. They still did not listen, they still break it, they still continue doing what they are doing because of the kind of people they are. So we are going to stop here, inshallah. We are going to continue tomorrow. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت ولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما اعطيت وقنا صرفنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت انك تهدي الحق ولا يهدى عليك. إنه لا يعز من عليك ولا يذل من عليك تبارك ربنا وتعاليك. اللهم اغفر لنا من خشيتك ما تهول به بيننا وبين معاصيك من اليقين ما تهول به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومكئنا اللهم في أسمائنا وأقسامنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا. لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا. لا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا رب العالمين. اللهم ربنا زك نفوسنا وآتها تقواها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح ما أقبل الخاتم لما سبقنا في الحق الهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره الجاري العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام.